Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
A Dear Media original podcast.
Welcome to Wine Face, where we're breaking down everything the experts know about wine in a fun, digestible, and accessible way because wine is for enjoying and wine is for everyone. I'm your host, Helen Johannesson from Helen's Wines in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And I'm just so excited today about my two guests because they're more than guests. They're basically part of my family. They're like my brothers. They're like the call I never not want to answer. Maybe not always. I'm just kidding. Joining me today are my business partners, John Shook and Vinny DiTolo. John and Vinny's Helen's Wines. We're in together.
Here we are.
Yep.
Guys, first of all, you're my true friends. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on.
I love you.
It's literally a long time coming. Feel like the pod was gone. Now the podcast is back. You were top of my list.
Rarely I'm the top of the list. So it's nice to be on yours.
Or on podcasts.
Well, you know, you got to step out of your comfort zone. For those people who don't know the two of you, they're some of the best chefs in the world. And hey, I'm biased, It's totally true. Incredible businessmen, incredible humans. So just to set it up, do you guys remember when we all met?
I do. I'll never forget. I think you got a sweaty armpit.
No,
you're so nervous about
just like right now.
Interview for the job.
I don't remember that because I know I was wearing a blue Oxford shirt, but I don't remember the sweaty armpit.
More than the interview, though, is for me, I think I remember how many late nights at Animal we spent
way back
way
in the
into
day.
The wee hours of the morning. Grinding it out.
2 a.m.
You know, like, and it still kind of feels like yesterday.
It really does. Well, so you guys have been partners for 22 years. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been working together, must be 13 years?
12 years, yeah.
You guys got about a decade on me. But that's pretty incredible. Really, really
it
amazing.
Is pretty incredible.
I mean, that's a lot of energy to walk in 12 or 13 years ago. That's why I was sweating.
We were just getting going then, really. It was like, we were really just getting going. But then again, like John said, I think like it feels like we're just getting going now.
I mean, literally Animal used to be open till 2 a.m. and we would cook right up to like 1:58.
Yeah, or later even. Sometimes people would come later.
Incredible amounts of love. Okay, so we've known each other for a really long time. But I guess one thing I selfishly wanted to do is there's some questions I've never asked you. So I thought it'd be really fun to ease in.
Can't wait to hear what these are.
No, they're not. they're not scandalous. Okay, since this is a podcast about wine, do you remember your first glass of wine?
Well, I don't know if it's considered wine, but Mad Dog 2020 would probably be my first kind of like step into the wine world that I remember. But obviously growing up in a Jewish family at Shabbat, you'd always have Manischewitz or cheap table red wine, but I couldn't tell you when that began.
I would say for me growing up in Florida, I felt like beer and alcohol were around me a lot and not wine. But I remember going to, you know, obviously where I met John in cooking school. And I remember working at Mark's in Fort Lauderdale. And I remember the Psalms there and everybody. It was such a serious restaurant and a wealth of information. And I remember the Psalm, like, you know, could see how young I was, we were, and let us taste the, I feel like a big cab from like Camus or something like that. And I was like so stoked. I was blown away. It was like cake bread or something like that. You know,
take it back to, I think Camus is better than cake bread.
Cake bread. It was like one of those, you know, it was like sort of like, oh, wine is better than I've ever imagined it being.
The other thing that a lot in that same time frame, 18, 19 years old, when we first met each other, we realized that if you went to a nice restaurant and you ordered an expensive bottle of wine, they wouldn't card you. Because they wanted to
Wait, but
you guys met in culinary school. You weren't 21?
No. We were, John was 18. I was 19. It was the summer of 1999.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I remember
Y2K.
Like,
Y2K was such a big Y2K deal. Yeah.
But we used to like go to like the nicest restaurants, like John Louis Lipolitan, and like order like, you know, a $300 bottle of wine, because we would like just bet on the odds that they wouldn't card us.
Because we
didn't have IDs.
We were basically taking all of our money and spending it on food experiences and then wine. I would say we were way more into it then than we sort of maybe now.
More party boy vibes.
Well, I would say that your life changes, you know, and like being a parent, it's like, you know, getting up and taking the kids to soccer, you know, class or whatever it might be, or surf camp or whatever, wherever they're going, you know, starts to kind of take over your life. And I think probably now, about maybe 8 or 9 years ago, I think we both slowed down on the amount of alcohol and other substances that we like to dabble with. You know,
same here.
As you get older, you just can't, you know, push it out like you used to.
You got
to
pivot. You can't push it out. No, you can't grind it down.
No.
Sometimes your body does feel it.
Sometimes I do like to have flashbacks, though. And I pretend.
Just take a toe dip back.
Pretend that I could take it all the way.
And, a real flashback.
Yeah. So back when you guys first met, was there like a moment when you guys weren't cooking at a restaurant? You're like in your apartment. You shared an apartment, I'm assuming.
Couple different houses.
Beds. Do you remember?
Cars.
Different rooms.
Slept in your car.
Cell phone.
Wow.
Cell phone.
I remember when you shared an email. It was really confusing when I first started working for you guys, because you literally had the same email.
At Animal.
Oh, caramelp@mac.com. Don't email it.
No one will ever reply.
It was crazy because it was like, you guys shared an email, but then you guys were like, you got to have this phone number. It was my own. Do you remember? This is a really specific question, but I was thinking about it. Was there a dish that you guys cooked and you like looked at each other and you were like, damn, we're good?
No. No.
You know what's funny is
no. I would say no. Yeah. No, right away.
But not really like you guys were like, we're the shit, but just like where you made something, you were like, this is really good.
No,
it's Vinny. Continuous.
Look, I mean, I think there's obviously dishes that you like. You know, I would say that in general, over time, you know, I would say that only within the last couple of years, I would say that I have felt like my culinary skills are maybe a little bit better than others, but I would still say that there's not like a particular dish. I mean, I go in and out of things that I like and flavors and ingredients. I mean, you know how I am about ingredients.
I love how humble you are.
Taste changes. But yeah. I would say that what makes me and us, and I think the three of us, the most happy, and like why we're really in it, is seeing other people enjoy it. And that makes me happy. And
100%.
And I think that's why it bothers me so much when you see it being done wrong, because you know what the result can be. You've already been there. It's that familiar place. And it's like, you know how good this can be, and watching someone stumble with it, like, especially when it's personal, I think is the hardest thing to watch for us involved here, I think. But that's the ultimate satisfaction, is having other people leaving happy. And that's really the goal. And I think like with what we've done with John and Vinny's, and I think what really kind of blew us away is how many people are so satisfied and so happy with that result, you know, and all of us together kind of taking everything we worked towards our whole careers and putting it in that space is what you really feel And that's what the result was, right? It was like, and then we're in there constantly, like fine tuning it. That place is like driving a race car 190 miles an hour around a track 200 times every day. You need the pit crew and you need the people in there kind of adjusting and tweaking and changing. And, but ultimately the satisfaction I think is really watching other people be happy. But I did want to tell you a funny story about when we first met. John was so used to working in restaurants, right? We got this apartment. It was our first apartment together.
Yeah.
And it was in like a weird place in Fort Lauderdale off the freeway. And we would always cook for other people in the Art Institute because it was, you know, multimedia, graphic design, all these people. They all lived in these buildings, apartment buildings. And within the first couple of weeks, we were like doing these dinners for people. And I remember clearly the night that everybody was leaving and John started cleaning up in sort of rapid pace that John has, you know, and just took this hot ass oil and dumped it down the sink. And it was plastic PVC piping.
Shut up.
It just melted the shit everywhere. It was all over the floor. Like,
I've never heard this.
Yeah,
it melted just like where connected to the sink.
What did you do?
I just cleaned it up.
We had to get a repair person. Yeah. It was like, but just that shock of like realizing like a home is so different cooking in than it is in the kitchen. And to think now we cook in our homes probably way more than we do actually at the restaurants. The restaurants and the catering is a lot more testing and trying and working things out than it is us actually physically cooking the way it used to be. When
I would say one of the most important things about cooking is learning from your mistakes.
100%. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
that's part of the fun of it, you know? And I think that's, you know,
forever mistakes.
What works in one place might not work in the other place. And even from ingredients, like a chicken breast here in California might be different than a chicken breast in Iowa. I know that seems nuts to even say that, but I think that that's part of the art of cooking is learning.
Yeah.
And after doing something for so many years, it's kind of almost like second nature for you. How much I've matured as a cook from my early culinary school days, like Vinny was saying, to where we are now. Because I never really cooked at home. I only really cooked at work. So I only understood and was trained in industrial cooking, not in residential apartment cooking.
now you're house really flexing.
Yeah,
you're
like, you learn. You know.
Oh man,
I mean?
Catering.
I know, but I asked because the first dish I really mastered when I was like 13 was shrimp scampi, and I was like, "Yo, this shrimp scampi slays! Like, I killed it on the scampi. It's really good."
You still love
what's
scampi.
What's funny about that is you never at my made house. Shrimp scampi.
I'll make it for you
for either one of us.
And then the mistake I made is
there's no snacks here. Where's the food?
Yo, there's no snacks on the pot. Right?
And where's the wine?
We're about to open all the wine. Reveal, but the moment I pushed it too far is I tried to cook the pasta in an Italian chicken stock and I took it too far. It was really flavorful, but then also all you could taste
you're just
was
like
that.
No thanks.
It was just like, I don't want
overpowered to shrimp.
All right, we're gonna bust out some wine in a second. Favorite thing though that you're cooking at home right now, I guess now that we've chopped up that we're all cooking at home,
yeah,
I'm still making scampi occasionally.
Yeah, scampi, I make scampi at the house, you know, scampi's on a thing. I mean, I find myself cooking a lot more for the kids than for myself. Mm. So, you know, common things like Sloppy Joe and
classic Shook House. Yes,
right now is like pasta. I mean, I'm like, I almost can't.
You might as well be working
the
station
again,
at John,
you know,
Vinny's.
Like,
yeah, we need
so much pasta. I would say some of the favorite things that I make in my house right now is salads.
Me too. Salads. Chinese chicken salad. I'm hot on it.
Interesting, Vinny, that the salad got mentioned because I was going to say just last night, I said to Sarah, my wife, Sarah, I was like, I think we need to go into the separating the salads. I was like, because the kids really just love like a sharp vinaigrette with Parmesan cheese and maybe red onions. And that's like it. So I was like, I'm sick of eating that. We've been through the pandemic and like, I've had enough of it. Let's start making other salads that we eat only. Because I do that with pasta and a lot of other things. Both my kids kind of eat differently. And I like to kind of just like, I need some nights, I just need to cook things.
At home catering for you.
Yeah, it's
and
like
Sarah.
I want pasta with peas. Yeah. It's like neither one of the kids like pasta with peas.
You know, my mom would have said, you got to pick them out. You're very nice. Yeah. I'm curious how I'll be with Sky.
Well, you want your kids to eat.
I know. No, I think I will do the same.
And they change too. Their taste change. It's like,
I can't move on to the next part without just letting everyone know that the first year I started working with you guys, because I was an employee for many years.
Besides the one email.
Yeah, besides the joint email. And then we became business partners, is the year that I joined the restaurant Animal, which is amazing. You should go eat there because it's back and better than ever. Had just, these guys, John and Vinny, had just won Best New Chef for Food and Wine. So the restaurant was like literally exploding at the scenes and all this press. And like 3 months after I started, the award came from GQ that John had won Best Wine List of a Year.
Funny
and I think that I really had to bring it up on the podcast because I couldn't have you on Wine Face without mentioning it and giving him the cred.
Of getting the best wine list in the country.
Yes, in the
in the country for GQ.
But, we got to stroke our egos here at this thing. Come on.
I would say what was interesting about that was that I didn't know anything about wine, and I still don't know anything about wine. But the one thing that I do know is what I like to drink.
You have good taste.
And I go strictly based on taste. And I would buy based on, you know, the purveyors would come in and taste you on wine like they do with you now. And I would buy only strictly what I like to taste. Sometimes I got pushed into buying stuff that I didn't like to be able to buy something I liked.
Oh, the game. That's what we call the wine game.
Yeah, the wine game. Oof. But at the end of the day, I typically like wine that is low body, easy drinking, as close to water as
possible.
Barely
there. I like to call it the barely there.
You know, I'm not into the typically liking to drink wine, red, white, orange, whatever color you want to give me on ice.
We can get some ice in here.
I don't
today.
Understand why people, maybe you could talk a little bit about this. I don't understand why people shun you for putting ice in your wine. And that is a non-traditional wine drinker, but part of drinking is to drink what you like. And
I don't shun.
I like it really cold.
I think snobby people shun.
And
it dilutes the wine. That's why.
As it dilutes it, though, it also opens up different notes.
Totally.
That other people don't talk about. So
I feel like we have a product line somewhere simmering in here.
I don't know about a product line. I'm just telling you that I'm giving you my
opinion. Agree. I put ice in some wines.
Yeah. And I packed two killer wines.
Okay, so we're going to do a segment.
Well, it's funny you mentioned.
Welcome to my segment, You Bring, I Bring, which is, I don't know what you brought.
I brought two. I brought two.
You both brought two.
I brought an OG, and I brought Il Favorito, what I like to make my wine spritzes with.
Oh, all right. And, we need the recipe.
I don't know much about the wine. I couldn't even tell you what the name of it is, but I liked it one time, and I bought a couple cases from you, and I'm nearing the end, and I brought it because I need to re-up.
Need that one.
I brought this bottle here that we're about to pass over.
We're chilling it down
chilling
so it doesn't explode.
All right, I brought this because it's holiday time and I'm re-gifting. Somebody gave that to me.
Oh!
And I'm re-gifting. I love this.
That wine is
John,
so good.
I love that wine.
That is a Helen, John, and Vinny favorite.
That's an Il Favorito.
That's an Il Favorito. Okay. But
I
also
brought
have something.
The Timothus.
I have a really funny one.
I have
and
Helen, one
too. Helen mentioned before that GQ wine list and the Best New Chef list. So I thought it'd be funny to bring.
You gotta be kidding me.
John brought it too.
Oh,
we did not plan this. I swear to God. John and I did not plan this.
Shit.
John and I didn't talk about it.
I got two cases of this crap in my basement.
That is amazing.
I'm gonna bring it. And
that's amazing.
Helen,
see there, that's ESP
great
right there.
Can you
that's
tell everybody? Mind. I know what this is because
ESP.
I've organized both of your wine cellars. What is this?
This isn't even actually in my wine cellar. I keep it in my basement. But this is back in 2009 when we won Best New Chef. We went to Behringer Vineyards and we made a wine blend. All the chefs that won Best New Chef were listed on the bottle. We don't need to read off everybody's name, but are listed on the bottle. And what was funny is Vinny's got first place. So his got bottled and I got second place. Mine didn't get bottled, but I have two cases of this stuff.
So you have Vinny's wine.
So they basically paired
everybody got Vinny's wine. So whoever.
Everybody. Cause,
blend of Cab Sauv and Cab Franc from Howell Mountain, which is a great location in Napa to grow Cabernet Sauv and Cab Franc. This a winning blend was created by Chef Vinny DiTolo.
Yeah.
Get the ego.
So he
get
got
the ego out.
Which is funny that we both. So I can't even believe
we're going to open
one of
them.
I love that he brought this. Honestly, I didn't even know that John had that much left of it. Still,
honestly,
I
knew both of you had it. And I was like, I bet they're both going to bring this. But I didn't want to say anything because I've organized both of your wine areas.
Mine's not even in my wine area.
But it was at your old house. Yes. Which one should we open?
Either
Who
one.
Stored it better?
I don't know.
I don't know. Probably mine was laid colder. Down and in the basement. So.
All right. So, let's go.
Somebody else is getting this as a gift.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of it.
I mean, but we what's literally funny have is that, to taste the
so Behringer. So how they did it was, I mean, this is like 2009. This is kind of like probably towards the end when they started doing this trip. I don't even think Food and Wine offers this anymore to everybody.
I feel like you
they
guys were had like, the best
they took
experience.
Us on like a helicopter tour. They had us like.
This is incredible.
They were really treating us well. And they paired everybody, you know, that you went with your, you know, significant other or friend or whoever you brought to the trip.
Yeah.
All the best new chefs were there. And we each got to blend their wines.
So Cork fell apart.
Yep. That was John's storage.
Well,
we'll see. Sorry,
we got it.
You got this. You
that
got
wasn't my storage. That's the person opening it.
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
You
can't just. Oh, wait. I got it. Now the cork is literally coming apart, but it's still.
We're still going to get into that juice.
We're still going to taste
it. We have two bottles.
So it was like, I remember it.
You guys, this is my first day.
I remember it being like, it's really big, very full bodied, exact opposite of what John says he
or
likes.
What we all like
or
to
what
drink.
We all like
we
to
all kind of like lighter wine.
I like light. I like
I'm
sharp.
Just going to push the cork.
I have no idea
it.
About
just
the other
it on
one
the
there.
Table in case you, so you don't get it on the carpet.
On the carpet. All right, guys.
Here
this
we are.
Real wine.
Yeah, just
this is
stick the wine key into the cork.
Like, so if this ever happens for anyone, technically you want to like either pour the wine through cheesecloth, but you want to drink it right away. So we'll taste it right away. All right, guys.
A little cork scrap doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, no. I mean.
I could smell it.
This is really
honestly,
the natural wine.
I can
yeah.
smell it. It's super strong.
And it's old I'll now. I mean, this is, what is this? This is
2009.
Gonna...
2000. No, it's actually 2007.
2007 Reserve Blend.
So it's.
You could probably auction this off on eBay, to be honest with you.
Well,
or save
not,
it.
You know,
honestly,
I'm not an eBay
not
person.
Bad.
It tastes pretty good. I'm not even bullshitting.
Mm.
It's
good.
Good.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
Maybe put it on the
pretty
reserve
good.
List.
Pretty good. I mean, it's expensive. We only have a very limited amount
we
of
We should
this.
Bring it to Beverly Hills.
Highly
and people,
allocated.
Highly allocated. I don't know if you can. And no, it's good. Like you blended it 2007. Notes of.
It's 2007 grapes, but it's
got a little greenness
bottle.
On the finish.
Smoky.
But it's good. It is smoky.
Super
little
smoky.
Quote unquote leathery.
Leathery. Old library. I mean, if you're going to have a steak, this would be really good.
This would be really, really good.
I'm shocked actually how good it is, to be honest with you, because I really, in my mind, always just thought it would be like.
I have a good palate. Come on. Give me a little
saying.
Credit.
I honestly think it's probably not even in its prime. It tastes to me like it's in the under, like wine ages in like an undulating pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it still has. A crescendo to reach.
So keep it somewhere really high.
I would hold it for another 10 and then we can re-dip into this.
Next
into
time
this
we visit
wine.
Wine Face.
Keep it somewhere really
okay,
warm.
Do you guys want to try the Modicum?
Yeah, well, see, I thought it would also be a size. It's a re-gifting. I thought that.
This is a 2012 Modicum.
That it's
this
nice
is from
to
the
celebrate.
Schramsberg. Yeah, I mean, we're celebrating life.
Celebrating
we,
life. We're here.
We got Beverly Hills open. We did it.
Yeah, here it is.
Don't need to open this bottle because I know how good it is.
Can you tell us about your...
John's trying to save his bottle.
I'm very
John
limited. I don't know
John
if he has
some,
more.
John
can you
some,
tell me about your spritz recipe?
Cookbook.
Yeah, we just got... It's just back in stock.
My spritz recipe starts with crushed ice.
Okay.
Because
here,
I
let me
like
give you
a little kind of almost slushy-like texture.
So do you
so
have
I
an ice crusher or do you crush
I
yourself? Use,
I actually have a pellet ice machine at my house.
Mikey.
When you buy
just like
a
at John
freezer,
the pebble ice?
Yeah. When you buy an ice maker, you actually have selections on what kind of ice you want. A lot of people don't realize that. And I like
don't. And
ice.
I'm about to buy a freezer. So
you better get that pellet ice, girl. So right, I like pellet ice.
So you start with
I
pellet
usually,
ice.
I usually, it depends on the wine. But with this particular one, I like to just have ideally Pellegrino or some kind of sparkling. Not a club soda because it's a little too carbonated for me.
Yeah.
And I like to just
I do
throw
not like
in
that.
Some... slice oranges into it.
Yeah.
And the wine, I keep it pretty. I don't like to.
No muddling.
I don't like, well, it muddles because I put it in with the ice and as you kind of
zhuzh
it up it,
I,
and you stir
really
it, it kind
of have one
becomes,
of these.
It's, you know, I think I like to, I change the name of a wine spritz to a Macho Man because it seems much cooler to carry a Macho Man than to carry a wine spritz.
Interesting.
So Macho Man at my house is probably the drink that I offer the most.
I love that. I'm ordering a Macho Man at John's house. from now on. This is like, it's all right. It's sparkling Chardonnay. I don't know.
It's okay.
It's okay. Sorry,
you like basically were like, I don't know who gave this to you, but you're like, I'll never drink this. I'll
bring
this
because you would never drink this.
No, what I would do with it, I would make spritzes. I would make a spritz with this. I would
Aperol spritz.
Yeah. I got really into, I think I told you this. I got really into the like the Italian, I don't know where they originated, but the bicicletas. The basically like it's almost like John's thing where it's basically like white wine with a splash of Aperol or Campari and ice. And it's like, you know,
I
guess the lore is that, you know, people used to, the like Italian men would go around the bars and drink these, and some places wouldn't serve them because people just all of a sudden are just like hammered from drinking them.
From having a splash.
Too many of the bicicletas.
Bicicletas.
Yeah.
Now we know the spritz drinks at John and Vinny's each house. Yeah. John, I don't know if this is going to be too fast and loose for you on the kombucha vibes, but it's Austrian. I brought the Gutegau Timotheus.
I always love their labels.
I know Vinny loves the labels. It's a place I hope we visit together sometime.
Ooh.
It's an amazing couple. They're in Burgenland. It's one of the best visits I've ever had. And they have like this incredible restaurant there. They're just lovely people.
Is their restaurant
look
too?
Like Ralph Lauren models. They're just like all around.
Who are the people on the bottles? I've always composting. Wondered that.
These are the personalities of their wines. So like it has to do with the age of their vines. And then when they're blending them, how they feel these wines are expressed. Pretty cool.
I like it.
So it's funky natty vibes.
It's not my top choice. Not my top choice.
The Viola we'll skip just because we all know what it is. John, you lucked out. You're taking that one back home. And I'm going to get you another case. Let me ask you this. Do you guys ever think, I mean, now or back in the day, about building a menu around a drink pairing?
I usually don't think of the drink first. I usually think of the food first
because
that's my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then I like to plug in the drink after. I feel like I've had great flights of wine or great drink pairings with food that have elevated the menu.
Yeah.
And I've had the reverse. But typically, my mouth and what I like to drink is vodka, which isn't very exciting if it was my alcohol of choice, which you know my love for
I
water.
I thought you were going to bring a bottle of water.
I literally thought you would. Then I didn't do the job correctly, and I only like to do everything correctly and not incorrectly. So if I brought a bottle of water, I would be kind of not doing the job correctly. But
what's
so
the best pairing you've had recently? I haven't really had a tasting
menu. One of my
menu,
favorite
but
pairings
in life,
that I
yeah.
had
yeah.
was at Spago. It was Vinny's 38th birthday or something. I don't know how old he was, but they pulled everything from the year he was born.
Oh, that's incredible.
I think you set it up.
Yeah. I think I did make that reservation.
So that was
a really amazing
experience, mostly because
that's
like
really cool.
All the wine was from 1979. You know, it was only 5 years ago or so. And it just felt so special to be drinking stuff from such an old period of time. Seeing the evolution of how the wine had matured and the flavors that were coming out of the bottle that weren't, I would say, common in most wine is drank what after 4 years of being
it was
made
like
off.
The age of it.
Yeah, just it
took
was
it
like
to the next level.
Just was, I think, in the flavors. I mean, the maturity of the wine.
Old wine is just better when it's made really well. It's like you can't discredit it. It just feels like such an elitist thing to tout. Like I never want to be like, you should really be buying wine and aging it because it's not for people to be able to do on the regs, but it really takes it to another level.
And I would say that,
yeah,
I know I talk a lot about how I like simple wines, but a lot of the wines that night had a, you know, kind of almost a manure smell to them on the nose, but the flavors were like just spectacular. Like all like the key notes that they were probably after were just so vibrant because they were just like, finally, like the genie got let out of the bottle.
It's like the wines on mushrooms.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
My favorite pairings recently was, I didn't get the full pairing, but the Psalm was pairing sakes at the Harbor House Inn, which is
a spectacular
experience. One of the best food experiences and overall that I've had in a very long time. Just really unique, special, great flavors. Highly recommend it, Mendocino County. I love that sort of, you know, taking it out of the context of like always getting wine. There were some wine trickled in there, but then I would say maybe one of the, I think I came back and told you this too, like a long time ago when Catbird Seat first opened and Eric and Josh were in the kitchen there. And I forget the woman's name.
We met her.
Running
I can't remember.
Program,
we met her.
But she was doing an exceptional job there. Yeah. She was like, just having a ton of fun with it, mixing some weird stuff up. She was like,
she was spraying glasses with sherry and then pouring beer in.
Yeah,
and
beer and wine, mixing so cool. spirits together. Like it was just really fun and cool and definitely different, you know.
I love that.
But I do love that. I love being able to sit back and really enjoy those kinds of experiences. They're just far and few between.
Let's do one soon. What's the craziest scenario you two have found yourselves in, aside from the hot oil down the drain?
That wasn't that crazy. I just thought it was really funny thinking about like, those apartments.
And like a oh shit moment.
Never
or
tell my story.
A mind-blowing moment.
I mean, I feel like every so often they come up and they're not always positive ones. Sometimes they're negative ones, you know. But I would say that if I had to pick one oh shit moment.
Mm-hmm. It could be a positive oh shit or a negative.
Does it have to be in food or no?
No, in life.
In life. I mean, I would say becoming a parent.
Yeah.
Is probably my biggest oh shit moment.
Yeah, I would say giving birth was my biggest one. So. Crazy.
Mm. Well, I can't choose that now that you guys both did.
Newsflash, we're all
parents. I would say every time we all now go to open a restaurant, it still feels like the first time and I still love that feeling. You know, I still love that feeling that I get. Feeling like you don't know what you're doing, but you've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
I kind of love that. Like, I think that there's something that keeps you in it in a way. We haven't become jaded from all of the experiences, all the amazing experiences, all that food has allowed us to do.
Yeah.
I think is one of the coolest things. The people.
And me.
You know, we've met so many people. We've worked with so many great people. We've collaborated with so many great people. I would say just that feeling is like, oh, shit, this is. It's real again, you know, it's like, it's still there. It's still here. And I think, you know, I think like John and I always joke around about, you know, one day when it feels like work, we'll have to stop doing it, you know, kind of thing, because we're really able to live out our dreams, you know, and like just being able to cook and keep doing it. I think is like any sort of artist's real dream is to be able to just keep being able to make the art, right? Well, keep being able to do it.
100%.
Right. It's like that's the real goal. Like, yes, if you get to make money and build around it and open doors for other people, that's awesome too. But you really just want to be able to just be able to keep doing it, not have to go. I never want to have to go stock shelves at Walmart. Like, I just don't. That's not what I want to do. That will absolutely crush me as a person. So I want to just be able to cook for people in some context, somewhere, always.
We're great. I'm very grateful. I know we all are.
Yep.
Top place you want to travel in one word or less?
South America.
I would like to go to China.
All right. I want to go both those places. So
South America, like no.
I've been, but
I know.
I've
never
go
been.
Back.
I can't believe it's
and
like.
And I've never been to China.
Costa,
like,
baby.
Instead of going to Europe, like go to South America.
I mean, Brazil. Anyway. All right.
Panama.
Before we wrap, I love to ask my guests to come through a very fast, rapid fire right now journey. So I'm going to ask you questions. They don't have to have answers about wine. It's whatever you're feeling right now. You guys ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Wait, do we both answer at the same time or is it you're going to do John and then me?
I mean, maybe one of you answers then the other.
Okay, cool.
So, or you can answer at the same time.
Okay.
I think it'll be very nice. Okay, it's very fast. White or red?
White.
Light or full?
Light.
Orange or rosé?
Rosé.
Rosé probably.
Fill in the blank. Fried chicken plus?
Beer.
Dipping sauces.
Dipping sauces.
Oh, I love dipping
Dude,
sauces.
Dude, Chick-fil-A is selling theirs now. Truffles or caviar?
Ooh. I would say probably caviar.
Damn, I got to go caviar too.
I know.
You know, like, I love truffles, but they just, you could almost get the same thing from just really good mushrooms. You know?
I agree.
Mushrooms are.
Just real mushrooms.
Yeah, real
Hardcore.
Mushrooms. Yeah, extract that flavor, concentrate it.
Current drink order.
Water.
Still a Negroni, I think, is like one of my first things. I love, like, you know this, John knows this, everybody in this room probably knows, like, I'm obsessed with aperitivo hour.
Aperol.
Yeah. A Negroni, Aperol.
Yeah.
You know, I like those, like,
the bitters.
The white Negronis that people are making. I like all, like, the Amaros. I love all that. I'm just, you know, as I've gotten older, I really have loved sort of obsessing over the Italian side of my heritage and sort of understanding some of why I feel so connected to that food, like in just the way I like to eat. And I think that that's really cool.
I have three rapid questions for you as well.
Oh, okay. The reverse rapid.
Jones, did you answer that email?
Yeah.
Best $20 bottle and under.
Ooh, Chiarelli, Trebbiano, or Montepulciano di Abruzzo.
Cork or screw top?
I still go cork.
Lay down the bottle or keep it tall?
Lay it down.
There you go. Those are my three questions.
Okay,
I got a question. Yeah. I got a question. Favorite snack?
With wine or without wine?
With wine. Come on. We're on wine face. Give me a break.
Favorite snack? I feel like little fried perfect fish. Salty, crispy, with a little... Like that pairs with so many different wines.
Glass with a stem or glass without a stem?
With a stem at a restaurant, without at home.
I'm going to answer that question too. I hate stem glasses.
You hate stem. But it's so the wine doesn't get so hot. But I guess then we just add ice.
You can drink it faster, man. Come on. Let's go.
Well, we just opened a wine bar and everyone should go check it out if you're in LA in Beverly Hills.
That's right.
And we're excited about all the stuff that comes in 2023 because we're at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Love you.
It's the best. You can find us at johnavinnies.com, helenswines.com. This is just a dream come true. Cheers.
Later. Cheers. Wow.